Download the Cliff Central app, available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Every Christmas Eve, my brother would go to bed at 6:30. He would say goodnight right in the middle of Scheme Sum. And my mom and I, we'd be looking at him like, ah. And then? The only reason why he's doing it is because he wants Christmas to come sooner. He is 27, my guy. 27.
The combination meal. Inspired by seven colors, there's something for everyone. Nando's. Fire it up.
And welcome to another installment on a wonderful Monday afternoon here across South Africa. Of course, it is time for Inspired Youth on CliffCentral.com. My name is Dean Buerta. I run a program called Pride Factor, but we'll be getting into that a little bit later on. The whole idea behind the show, it is a platform for the youth to engage with adult listeners, professionals, educators, influencers, and officials to showcase their thoughts, their talents, their concepts, their opinions, and advice for a greater future. And on that note, I don't think I could have found two better guests to join me in the studio today. Please welcome Zarif. Zarif, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Dean. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining me. And then, of course, we have Dali, the better known The Chase with Dali.
Thank you so much for having me. Greetings to all the listeners.
There we go. So, guys, yeah, the whole idea of the show is all about inspiring youngsters and obviously showcasing their talents, their skills, their thoughts and advice. Please do engage with us. Everything we're on, Twitter, Facebook, hashtags, all of that is all Inspired Youth SA. And of course, talk to us through Cliff Central, cliffcentral.com. And we'll get into all the other parameters. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the show today. As I say, our normal is to showcase teenagers and get their opinions. But when it comes to this time of the year, holiday season, things like that, we obviously know that people are starting to turn off. Even though it is actually probably the time of the year where you should be racing for the finish line, as opposing to slowing down before you get there. So, Zarif, let's start with you. Give us a little intro and a bio on all of your achievements and try and keep it under 25 minutes if you can. Thank you.
Sure, Dean. So I think I'm someone who strongly believes in the whole concept of diversification. So I follow what Jay-Z believes in. And I'm someone who wants to actually do a lot of things at the same time. So I'm a lawyer at the moment. I'm also an entrepreneur. I'm a best-selling author. I was listed as one of the top 200 young South Africans by the Mail and Guardian. I was also listed by GQ as their best dressed, and I also won SABC One's One Day Leader Season 4. So I like getting involved with a whole lot of different industries, and yeah, it's a very important thing for young people to know these days.
Absolutely. So multi-talented, many, many platforms available there. Dali.
Yes, sir.
Walk us through it.
So cool. Dali Jalmeni, 22 years old, from the Eastern Cape. I'm a radio personality. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a speaker, as well as I run a web series called The Chase with Dali. And yeah, man, I'm just very fascinated about the fact that we've got a supreme calling and the fact that we can be whatever we want to be in this world, and nothing can literally stop us. That's why I've embarked on a journey where I just come together with young kids and we just all just chase our dreams and inspire each other in the process.
So leaders of industry joining us. So kind of the topic that we're going to be covering today, guys, mainly is the idea of leading by example. There are obviously different ways of leading by example, and this is kind of the stuff that we're going to be covering in the show here today. So let me just give you a brief rundown on who it is and what we do. We run a program called Pride Factor. We've got several different platforms available for mentoring, inspiring, guiding, and basically exciting teenagers and young adults to fulfill their dreams, to live out their destinies, to find their passions, to become the best at it that they possibly can, and therefore hopefully turn it into a fulfilling lifestyle and ideally a career. We do this via several different platforms. Obviously, you're listening to the one now, Inspired Youth SA on Cliff Central. Otherwise, we also run a whole bunch of live events. We've got some TV shows. We've got some illustrations. We've got a whole bunch of different platforms that we engage with them. So check us out, pridefactor.co.za. Would be best for you to go and check out.
Why you gassing, dog? Why you coming to my table with asking, dog? I know you hate me with a passion, I ain't mad at y'all. I know you fuck with every classic in my catalog. And it go worth a magazine team, think it's Lou Love. Cash time with a jean scheme, push dust. I don't need a green screen when I pull stunts. Cause when you the real thing, niggas get touched, then it's super unlock, unlock. I don't give a fuck about your number one spot. Corporate sleeping on me, need to set alarm clocks. Worth the all my night, your homies getting to the con guap in the billboards. That's the shit that I kill for. Big dreams since I was a little boy, I'm stressed.
Middle finger to this the is CliffCentral.com.
So it's a short break in action. They're just finding our feet a little bit here, trying to find out where my back tune has gone. I seem to have misplaced that ever so slightly, but we are on it yet again. Okay, so the premise for the show, obviously, is leading by example. Zarif, you have been doing a multitude of things lately. I obviously met you at the Leadership 2020 Sunday Circle.
Yes.
That we had a few weeks ago, and overly impressed by your story. So Where do you come from? How does it all work for you? And of course, the fact that you are a lawyer, an author, top 200, etc., etc. How do you find the time?
So, so I came from a small town, a small farm town. It's called Klerksdorp in the Northwest Province. It's very close to Potchefstroom. I think a lot of people who come from town, like your small towns, you know, a lot of them are very ambitious. A lot of them want to actually get out of that small town and go into the city. I moved to Sandton about 5 years ago, but my journey didn't start there. It actually started at the age of 16. At 16, I started up my first clothing company, which is called Self-Made Billionaires. And I noticed a gap in the market. So I saw that there was Amma Kip Kip at the moment with t-shirts, and, you know, there was those type of brands, but No one was really associating themselves with celebrities. So I thought, look, man, you know, I do know, I have access to people like Kenny Kunene, and that was just obviously through the whole concept of networking. So I thought, let me actually create a platform where I have t-shirts available, but now people like Kenny Kunene, people like Leanne Liebenberg, who at that stage was, you know, obviously the biggest thing when it comes to females. So Leanne was there, Kenny was there, and they all started wearing my brand. And it did well. I mean, it really opened up doors for me when it comes to working with corporate companies. So at the age of 17, I already started getting, you know, deals from Prime Media, from 94.7, you know, doing a lot of the events for them when it comes to getting their t-shirts done. So I already started to build up that whole entrepreneurship mindset from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it was practically just growth. So as you meet people, as you learn from other people around you, a lot of my mentors are a lot older than me. Mm-hmm. People that are, you know, 35, 40 years old. And in my book, actually, I speak
35,
about
35 isn't old, huh?
It's not old.
No,
it's
yeah,
not
no,
old.
It's not that
sorry,
bad.
I mean,
it's
not like,
that bad.
Yeah. What I'm referring
Look at Dean
to,
out there. Is like, yo, what did you say?
I'm referring to the fact that I was 17. So, I mean, like, my mentors or the people that I look
time,
up
yeah.
to are always, you know, people that have to be a lot older than you because you need to get to that level one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, true.
So the thing is, it was that whole idea that I want to learn from the best out there so that I can actually develop myself and become better. So it's that whole process moving forward. Then the book came out, you know, I started doing a bit of radio. You know, we did a little bit on Cliff Central as well. So there's a whole lot of different things that actually form part of it. But people don't know that you fail so many times. Like, you know, you'll sit down and you'll hear me at this interview and it sounds like all good and
you've
everything
all,
sounds fun.
You've got it all together, but they don't understand, you know, the hardships and the challenges that you go through and the failure that you go through. But you have to just have to keep going and keep pushing. Yeah.
It's true, bro. Like they were saying, even, you know, I mean, Dali's someone who's going to be exceptionally big in the next 4 to 5 years. I'm inspired by you. It's actually an honor to be
He's
sitting next to you.
He's saying that because he's my PR manager. I'm kidding.
But no, I agree with you. Like if you look at people, like even some of our mentors that we share together, like DJ Spoo, for example, how many times has he told us that he's failed at things continuously before he succeeded
and
once?
And he's quite open
it.
About his failures as well. You know what I mean? And he always tells us that he doesn't want to, you know, give us this, a whole celebrity life where he doesn't tell us about his real stories, his real failures, and he actually just like embraces those things and he shares them with us so that we can learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, quite recently, yesterday, in fact, at Sunday Circle, he spoke about the fact that he feels so stupid and foolish with the fact that he had to buy a lot of cars and spend thousands of rand with strangers at clubs instead of investing in property.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those cars are gone
and
now.
And those small
decisions,
you know what I mean, Dean, as well? Like, you're looking at young people nowadays. I think we need to get this whole idea of a flashy lifestyle. It shouldn't be attractive anymore.
Yeah.
We should
now
be looking at, you know, people buying property at a young age, people investing money correctly, people getting into new innovative ways of thinking. I think that changes society, you know?
Absolutely.
I hear you. Okay, so Dali, I'm just going to let you roll them. You've got opinions on this. Yeah. Please tell me. Tell us.
So cool. So I'm 22 years old. I'm from the Eastern Cape. I recently moved to Johannesburg this year, February. I've got a call from DJ Spoo. I've been stalking DJ Spoo for the last 5 years.
I love this story. Go with it.
So I've been stalking DJ Spoo for 5 years on social media. So I stalked him on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I spent half of my salary back home on YouTube trying to like look at the stuff that he does, trying to listen to his motivation. And, you know, every day without fail, from Monday to Friday, I'll tag him on Instagram. Like, yo, dude, look at what I'm doing. I'm out here in this land and I'm pushing. Please better recognize, man. Put me on. And this year, I tweeted him at the beginning of the year. I was like, yo, this year I'm going to work with you, sir. And he replied with a tweet. And in February, he gave me a call. He's like, yo, we've got a new station called Massive Metro. You're the only one that knows right now. And you're gonna get a show. So just prepare yourself to move to Johannesburg. And, you know, it's just been crazy. My life has changed in like 8 months. You know, going back home, like, I've always just been an outcast, you know. Growing up in school, I've always been teased on because people couldn't really pin me. They couldn't really understand who I was, and I never fitted in one box. So, you know, I grew up with a bit of depression, a bit of, like, you know, low self-esteem, and a little bit of no confidence, because like a lot of people had a lot to say about me. But I had to spend an entire year by myself trying to figure out, who am I? You know, what mm-hmm. do I like? What's mm-hmm. my preference in this world? What am I called to do? What's my core purpose? And after I found that, it was easy for me to maneuver my way into the industry and to everything else that I'm doing right now. So I'm sure, yeah.
Did you know, I can
there's actually a lesson in that, though. Yeah, I mean, there's a lesson in that. Isn't it?
And I was just gonna say, like, you know, out of all the compliments that I can give Dali, I mean, Dali, you know, bro, like, honestly speaking, you have a good radio voice, you have the look, you have the whole thing for the entertainment industry. But the best compliment I can give him is his consistency. You know, when you have that level of consistency, like, nothing in this world will stop you, bro. So just keep going on and doing what you're doing.
I think that's one of the things that DJ Spoo said to me when I first got up to Joburg. He was like, sure, but he said it in Zulu though. He's like, yo, how you forced a van? How you forced? So basically, he's like, yo, I just force things and I just don't stop. And I've got, like, I've adapted his attitude as well. You know, you just don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
You just go in there and just, you know, bombard whoever's attention you need, just bombard them with everything that you've got until they recognize. You know what I mean? And just go in there, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness later on. You know what I mean? So it's in the book, Billionaires Under Construction. Get it?
Yeah. Story of my life. Yeah. So I think where we're ending up there is certainly that persistence is key. Correct?
100%. Yeah.
And obviously, with all these different medias that we've got available to us, with tweeting at them and Instagramming and tagging them and finding their details and sending an email and finding the phone number and giving them a call, etc., wasn't like that a couple of years ago. So the youngsters of today can take advantage and should take advantage of that sort of contact.
Yes.
Get in touch, reach out, make a plan. No one's going to come and find you. I think it's, again, it was something that we were talking on the show last week. And to all the listeners out there, please do take a look at our podcast. We've got some very cool ones. But one of the things that we were talking about last week was obviously the way that the world has changed, and, you know, like, how these athletes are trying to get recognized. Like, when I was younger, used to go surfing, used to just hope someone that saw you surfing would come and offer you a sponsorship.
Yeah.
But nowadays, there's different ways of doing it. So if you want to get stage time, best way to do is, as you say, Dali, get in touch with your mentors or people that you look up to, hound them, tap on their door, knock on their door, kick
email
down
them,
the
like,
door if you've got to, but just keep putting it out there until they say no. Well, then maybe you cut it off, but until they say that, they're listening. Someone's listening.
And I mean, like, you get these young people that they're not really in the media industry, but they just want to break into the media industry. So what they do is they target a particular brand that they like, let's say like a sneaker brand that they like. They invest a lot of their money into those sneaker brands. They take photos of those sneakers, wearing them everywhere, until these guys actually recognize, like, oh cool, this boy has been wearing our stuff and he's been pushing out there. People are actually buying because of this boy. And then in no time, you know, you've got to suffer an ambassadorship deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, even touching on the whole concept of, I know you're speaking about YouTube, like, YouTube is something that hasn't touched South Africa the way it should as yet.
Yeah.
And in the next 4 to 5 years, it's going to be massive. I mean, there's people in the States, people in Dubai with 5 million subscribers, and they're earning a huge amount of income from it, and they're changing the lives of not only themselves but their family and their friends and everyone around them, practically. People in their communities as well. So I think we need to also start looking in an innovative way of how you can actually reach people these days. It's not just the conventional, even Instagram, Facebook anymore. Now we can go onto YouTube YouTube. You can go on to places like, I mean, there's VOOV that was just created recently.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's
things
a beautiful
like that.
Platform,
you know, we need
yeah.
to start looking at innovative ideas and build on it.
And speaking about YouTube, I remember I spoke at Dean's event, the Pride Factor, that was, you know, I think two months ago.
Yeah.
And I was speaking about the fact that I'm creating TV on social media, which is on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, you know, tell us a little bit more about that. I'm gonna slow you down. So just tell us a little bit more about the whole YouTube side of things.
So cool. The Chase with Dali, basically, it's all about just profiling people's beautiful stories. Dean, you've got a beautiful story.
Oh, thank
you've
you
got a beautiful journey. Zarif, you've got a great story that people need to hear. So I believe everybody's story rather is a gift to the world, and people have to hear that. So when people hear my story, they get motivated to go after their dreams.
Yeah.
So what I do is I profile young people like Zarif and yourself to come share their stories, celebrities and ordinary people that have got amazing stories to motivate young people and just give them that extra push, you know, to go further. So it's a motivational channel. And what we're doing, basically, we at the end goal of the Chase with Dali is that we want to have a late night show or morning show. But we understand right now that these people are not coming to the party, these channels, they're not coming to the party by saying, okay, cool, we're going to give you a slot on TV. So we're like, okay, cool, let's created on social media. It's a web series, 15-minute episode. We profile your DJ Fresh, we profile your Zarif Minty, your DJ Smooth. We sit down with them, we're like, okay, cool, dude, how did it all start with you? We're not interested in about the car that you drive, the money that you have. We want to know the story behind how you got there, because that's what's important. You know what I mean? When I look at celebrities, I don't look at how much money they have. Yeah. I look at what did it take you? What drove you
that's
to get
true.
To that level?
Yeah.
So basically what we're doing is we're trying to create TV on social media until these people come to the party and like, okay, cool, we want to buy your content from you
yeah.
and we want to put it up on TV. So we're not going to wait for them. We're going to create this TV. We're going to have adverts. We're going to have sponsors, and it's going to be there. It's going to be TV on social media until the actual TV buys it from us.
Yeah, love it. Zarif?
Yeah, I mean, you have to disrupt the industry. I think that's the most important thing. We're living in a society now where a person can come from absolutely nothing and can become a huge YouTube sensation or Instagram sensation. People like Nadia Jafta, for example, I mean,
yeah,
she
yeah.
wasn't known at all. Today she's creating funny videos and she has over 100,000 followers on Instagram. Huge companies want to work with her. Revlon got into contact with her, but if it wasn't for social media, it would have never existed. So I think it's also the persistence idea and the fact that if you're really passionate about something and you believe you're good at it or you want to develop it, go out and just do whatever it takes to get there. I think that's the most important thing.
And I think another thing that links with persistence is patience. You've got two options
yes.
in this world.
Yeah.
You either you give up or you stick it through.
Yeah.
It's true.
Patience is very important because, yeah. like, you know, you wake up every day, you're consistent, you put in the work, but sometimes it's just you're not getting results.
Yeah.
So you just have to be patient because you believe in this thing, you have an idea of how it's going to look at the end, how it's going to be. So all you have to do is just stick it through. Patience is very important and interlinks with persistence and consistency.
And everyone goes through those periods, eh? So I think if someone's going through it right now, they shouldn't feel, you know, saddened by it. They should actually understand that, like, there was a period for me, even for like 2 or 3 years, where I wasn't doing much at all. I was just at university getting my law degree done. But like that was all I was doing, and I felt like there was people out there pushing, and I just, you know, it obviously makes you a little bit annoyed at yourself as well. Do you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like you're taking it too easy right now. Some people might be feeling that, you know, they're not getting to the level where they want to yet because of A, B, and C circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only for a short period of time, because if you are persistent and you are patient and you continually believe in what you're doing, like, it's going to change. Circumstances
Absolutely.
Have to
True.
Change. That's
yeah.
how life works, you
yeah.
know? So you just have to keep the faith. I think that's the most important thing.
And you know what, Dean? The beautiful thing, just to wrap it up quickly, the beautiful thing about everything that we've just said right now is the fact that we had an idea of what we want to be.
Yeah.
And we woke up every day investing in these things, right? Now, we have an idea of what we want to be. We have role models that are doing these things, and we want to be the next generation that leads the following generation.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're leading by example. We say, okay, cool. You want to be these things. We want to be these things. Yeah. So let's do it. Let's put in the work.
Starbucks was an idea. The Chase with Dali was
an idea.
McDonald's,
you know what I mean?
Was
We're
an
putting
idea.
In the work. It's yeah. it's not about us talking about it like here on Cliff Central or wherever we speak. But it's about us putting in the work. And if you go on our social media, you'll see us every day consistently putting in the work.
Everything starts with an idea. I mean, that's exactly where everything absolutely begins. And the only reason you can never find an idea is when you find a little bit of inspiration. Where do ideas come from? Who knows? It's something that just pops into your mind at some time, place, or something like that. But it is usually from either a noise that you've heard, a sight that you've seen, or a smell that you've smelt.
Absolutely.
And that inspires you to think differently, and therefore an idea is born from that. Guys, we are on Inspired Youth SA here on Cliff Central, having a great time with Zarif and Dali in the house. We'll be back in just a short sec.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Inspired Youth. My name's Dean Buerta. I run the Pride Factor as well as the Inspired Youth brands that are, I'd love to say, taking the world by storm, but are not, because obviously we need to be patient, and that is what I'm talking to my guests about today. Of course, Sharif and Dali joining me in the studio. Again, guys, thank you for joining us today. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I know
us.
That everyone's kind of calming down. So what we're talking about now is obviously like how patience is actually a skill. And for all our youngsters out there that have got an idea or an inspiration set in their mind, and they're driving and they're running and they're knocking and they're kicking and they're just running around all motivated and inspired in that, sometimes things take a little bit of time.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the best things take a considerable amount of time. Mm. How do you deal with applying that patience? Do you deal with applying that patience? Because there's one lesson that I feel 2017 has taught me, which is no matter how great your idea is, you need some partners. You need some people to believe in you, be it sponsors, investors, government, blah, 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 blah. But at the most time, you just got to be a little bit patient.
Yeah, sometimes we rush too much, and sometimes we don't even know and understand what we're rushing for. You know, it's a great thing pushing and working hard every day, but sometimes you just have to take a step back just to get a bit of clarity. If this thing that you're chasing and then this thing that you're running after, is it really working out or is it not working out? And, you know, sometimes it's important to sit back and spend time with yourself and understand that things are not going to happen overnight. You know, TD Jakes says in one of his talks that we like the popcorn generation. You know, we just put it in microwave 2 minutes and then we're ready to eat it. But success doesn't work like that. It takes time.
Yeah.
And I was saying earlier on and off air that you've got two options. One option is to give up. One option is to be patient until it works through.
Yeah.
Be persistent, be resilient.
Yeah.
So it's really important to practice patience. And off air, you're speaking about the fact that sometimes you really want to make that call to the client, but you don't want to be too pushy.
Yeah.
So you wait until, you know, they call you the following day, or you wait like 3 days and then you call them. Because sometimes not being patient can make you miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because it's pushing too hard.
Yeah.
And you're coming across as desperate as well.
I think there's another lesson in that, and that's another thing I feel that I can teach because I've learned it in 2017, and that is pick up the phone. The whole emailing world generation, a lot of people,
doesn't
because
work for me.
Where we are right now is instant gratification. We don't sit there and watch a series and the next week watch another series. Netflix has put it out that from 2018 onwards, they will only be dropping entire series at a time for those that do want to binge watch and take the content when they have it. So they won't be dropping episode, week, episode. It is all at once. It's instant gratification. And I find a lot of us, I think, especially for myself, that I try and adapt to the youth as best I can, but actually at heart I'm a little bit older than both of you, so that the whole email, hi, how are you, hope you're having a great time so far, let me introduce, that time slowly disappearing.
Yeah.
Business is now done on what platform? On WhatsApp.
Yeah.
You know, like that is where a lot of business is done nowadays. It used to just be a communication tool, but it has become a business communication tool. And that's what I was talking about now is, if you've got something that you want to pitch someone, if there's someone that you want to contact, perhaps write them an email, yes, but follow up within 48 hours with a phone call. Pick up the phone.
Dean, I call them first. Mm. I'm like, yo, this is the deal. This is what I want from you. This is what I'm proposing. Mm. And then I'll put it on email after, you know, obviously the conversation. So if the conversation goes well, I'll write it on email. Then after the email, I'm still going to follow up. Have you received my email?
Yeah.
When should I expect a response?
Another thing is also a lot of business is no longer done during business hours.
No.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you know, it's 8 crazy. O'clock in the evening, deals are being done on WhatsApp. So it's a whole different mindset now. It's a whole different game. You have to be continually working. And, you know, we can also touch on the whole concept, the 4:30 a.m. whole idea.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So I think it's very important that young people now, especially if you really want to, you know, push yourself out there and really be consistent and get every single opportunity, the early bird really does catch the worm.
Absolutely.
You have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and sleep at 11 or 12 o'clock at night for you to be at your best. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what the cool part about waking up at 4 o'clock? Okay, cool. I'm not going to be out here and lie that I wake up at 4 o'clock, but I do wake up early, right?
Yeah.
So my early 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, right? But I wake up and I meditate. And I read, and I go for a run if I feel like it. But meditating is really important. Do you understand how great it feels to work with a peace of mind? Because everything is clear. Because we as young people, we are so consumed by so much of the things that we want to do that we don't end up not doing any of them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
my mind is there and there and there. Mm-hmm. I want to do this, I want to do that. And you end up doing nothing because you don't have clarity, you don't have focus, and you're not at peace in your head. Therefore, you accomplish nothing.
Yeah, no, what there's something I just want to add on to that. I find that a lot of youngsters at the moment, and I'm talking about specific people as well as others in general, and maybe this relates to you, but a lot of people wake up, first thing they do is turn on the light and check their phone. And if you do that, and I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying what it does do is straight away, whatever media is out there or whatever content you're busy looking at is something that will stick in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, your ideas and your opinions and your ritual in waking up, it's like you actually don't have, and I'm not saying you don't have an idea of your own, but because you've woken up and seen, oh gosh, fires in California, this has happened there, that's happened there, you are now thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100%, Dolly. My first thing in the morning is I try and get to gym. Fortunately, I live within walking distance. I usually get in the pool, do as many laps as I can, and then I jump into the steam room.
Yeah.
And on a personal note, I'm not a fan of people that talk in a steam room. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But that is my little form. It's my little form of meditation. I used to come from Cape Town, used to take a walk up the mountain, go down to a beach, my quiet time, listen, da da da. But after some exerting exercise in the pool or in the gym, I jump into a steam room and it's just a calm, and I set myself up for the day for what my thoughts are. So I've got my opinions.
That
I
want to really
do that.
Helps.
I want to tick that off. I want to do that. I want to do that. And that, if I've achieved that, that is a successful day. Then I'll have a look at my phone and see what's going on in the rest of the world. I'm not trying to be ignorant of the rest of the world, but there is so much media. There is so much content out there. And if you don't just take 5 minutes to just allow yourself to wake up, have a look outside, see what the weather's doing, have a cup of coffee, feel what your thoughts are doing, what your emotions are doing, and then take a look at the rest of the world, I would put that in as a top tip.
Even before sleeping, a friend of mine, Oros Mampov, is an actor in the industry. He's also a musician. He gave me a tip at the airport. He was like, before you sleep, an hour before you sleep, put away your phone. Don't be on social media. Like, you're sleeping there, you're laying in your bed and you're out there tweeting. Yeah. And take away your phone for an hour before you sleep and just be with yourself, be centered, and have a peaceful sleep. Because some of us are not even sleeping properly, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
as a young person,
you're thinking about other things.
You want to be great.
I actually do that.
Can I give you a tip?
Please,
that everyone that I've worked with so far, like, really kind of enjoys it. I turn my data and my Wi-Fi off usually around 8:30 at night.
All right.
So the phone's still on. So if, heaven forbid, mom, dad, anyone, any kind of drama, any kind of issue, emergency, you can get hold of me. You can phone me. No problem. But I'm not interested in a WhatsApp group about a party on Saturday, about a Bitcoin this, about emails coming. I don't want that.
Yeah.
So from 8:30 at night, roughly 8:30, as soon as I'm having dinner, Wi-Fi and data off.
That's nice.
If there's an emergency, give me a call. But I'm not prepared to talk about business then, and I'm not getting any emails. So I've got my own time to think.
Yeah.
Zarif, your take.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's very important.
He doesn't have a tape because he sleeps with his phone.
I do sleep with my phone. I need to change it, but I agree with you. No, I do. Sometimes you're on WhatsApp or you're replying to someone and you actually fall off to sleep and then you wake up at 4:30 and you're like, oh damn, like, you know, and you don't have time to actually just relax at night and think of what you're going to do tomorrow. So I think that needs to definitely improve. I completely agree with you in that sense. Yeah.
There's like two types of sleep, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's like sleep, like proper rest, waking up, going like, oh, that's cartoon stretch. Good morning, hello world, how are we? And then there's other sleep where you wake up and you kind of still like, what was I thinking about that? And you zombie your way into the kitchen and you automatically on like autopilot make yourself some coffee and some lemon juice. And you, there are two different types of rest. Yeah. And look, I can see, Dolly, you are a 20-hour, you're like a bar one man.
No, I get 3 hours of sleep every night. That's all Zarif, that I get, Zarif, I promise you. Like,
Zarif doesn't sleep, eh?
I'll message him at 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and I'll message you at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It's just weird times that we're actually speaking to each other. But I can't advocate for that though. People should be getting enough sleep, but I think at the same time also like 4 to 5 hours would be sufficient.
Yeah.
That's healthy.
Also, if it works for you, it works for you. Yeah. And that's it. I think that's kind of our message to the listeners out there: is find what works for you.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Everyone, I'm the same as you. I'm early morning guy, but 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, I'm lights out. I'm gone. You know, but I've got that feeling of waking up at 5 a.m. I love it. I love watching the sunrise. The phone isn't ringing. The emails aren't coming. It's wonderful. So that's my routine. You know, if everyone out there, find your routine. Find what works for you. Are you a late night owl? Are you an early morning worm? You know, where do you work?
Yeah. You see, yesterday at Sunday Circle, Dr. G.A. Luchuti said something very profound. He says that, how do you think you're going to master your career? How do you think you're going to master the world and master people when you haven't mastered yourself? Mm-hmm. Who are you? Mm-hmm. What works for you? What do you prefer? Do you know who you are? Because self-awareness is very key to success. and we battle with that. People don't know who they are, Archer.
Yeah.
And they're being told who they are by their friends and their peers. Oh no, Dean is a great speaker. Mm. That time you don't, you're not even passionate about speaking, but because you articulate yourself so well, people start telling you who you are and what you do, instead of you knowing and coming from the heart or from the core. Okay, cool. Dali's this person. This is what I stand for. This is what I believe in.
Yeah, and I think you also need to fill yourself up. I mean, fill yourself up in the sense of making sure that you're right. Like, you have a full identity of who you are, where you're going, or you don't even have to have your full idea of your goals in mind. You just need to know exactly who you are, what you stand for. You know, who would you like to surround yourself with? What would your power circle be? And then really work on that, because a lot of people look for supplements to themselves.
Sure.
So they'll go and look for friends, but those friends must then fill the voids for what's missing in themselves. Yeah. And you need to really spend time by yourself alone for you to actually feel better about things.
True.
Yeah, I think with the school holidays now obviously in full effect, and obviously the working holidays for some people coming in very, very shortly, let's actually address that. I think that's a good point, Sarif, is obviously school holidays, everyone's running around doing their things, all that kind of stuff. How important is it choosing the right people to hang around with?
Yeah, I think it's very important, right? So the thing is, your friends can really determine where you're headed in life.
Yeah.
They say that there's a very important saying that everyone speaks about. It's that, you know, if five of your friends are broke or poor or whatever it is, you're going to be the sixth person who's broke as well. I'm not saying that there's any issue with you being poor at this very moment, but it's all about mindset. It's not actually about the wealth concept. It's not about whether you're physically poor. It's about whether you're poor in your mind.
Yeah.
So if five of your friends are actually have bad mindsets, if they're doing the wrong things, if they're more interested in partying at the age of 25 or 26 or 18 or 19, and not really thinking about the future, and all that they're worrying about is getting drunk or, you know, doing A, B, C, and D, then those people are not necessarily the people you should be surrounding yourself with, especially if you have a mindset of growing yourself to be the best that you can be. So surround yourself with like-minded people, you know. Yeah. Even if it takes longer, sometimes you'll have to be by yourself for a while before you find people like that, because we want to grow a society where people have that mindset, but like, unfortunately right now, it's still very few people have that mindset, you know.
And I had to go through that as well. Yeah. You know, I spent an entire year by myself. You know, because I really needed to know who am I and what sort of people I want to surround myself with. Yesterday, Dr. Luchuchi spoke about something very cool. So I'm holding my glasses right now. Yeah. And he spoke, you see these lenses, right?
Uh-huh.
They're your vision, they're your dream and your goal, mm-hmm. right? And you need the right people, which is, what do they call this again?
The frame.
Yeah. Yes. So the frame is the people that you hang around with, and sometimes people spend more on the frame than the lenses.
Yeah.
Because the frame is so cool, it's beautiful, it's there to structure the whole thing so that your vision is clear. So what's important is that your friends have to correlate with your vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you don't have the right frame, then your vision is going to be like, you know, a bit shaky.
Yeah,
so get the right frame, get the right friends, and your vision is going to be much more clear. You know, you need to hang around people that understand you.
I love that, bro.
Earlier on, coming to this interview, I was speaking to Boosie, a friend of mine. I was telling her, look, next year, I want to be around people that are in the same vibration in terms of communication and in terms of us, you know, speaking about our dreams and everything resonating together. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you hang around with people and you tell them about all your dreams and they don't even understand. And you share a part of you with them, and a part of you, a quarter of who you are, doesn't even resonate with them. What are you doing with those people?
Another thing is also, you get people out there who actually spend a lot of time speaking about other people, and that's the biggest mistake you can ever make. So I think, you know, if you are around friends that are doing that, and a lot of people just are gossiping and they are continually speaking about other people, if you have the ability to find friends who speak about ideas, about building things together, you know, improving each other, that's the people you should be surrounding yourself with.
I like it. Guys, you're listening to Inspired Youth SA here on Cliff Central. In the studio, I have with me Adali as well as Zarif. Now, Zarif, I'm just going to put you on the spot right now. You've handed me a book, which I'm going to get signed by you, which is called Empire. Tell me about this. Where did this come from, and how do people get hold? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, this looks like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a very quick read. You can see the font is very big, but there's a whole purpose to it. I mean, young people nowadays don't enjoy reading books.
Yeah.
They're always on e-books. They're always on, you know, their platforms, whatever it is. So it was kind of trying to, you know, reach that compromise in the sense of it's always nice to have a physical book with you, but then also let's make it attractive to young people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the book is all about teaching people how to network, how to brand themselves, how to commercialize themselves, in teaching them skills like, for example, how to build a power circle, how to find mentors that are like-minded like you, compete with people that are much older than you. So very important tools that can assist young people, and actual practical tools, you know, teaching them about entrepreneurship, not just the idea of it, but how to actually start up a business at a young age and then learn as you go, which is a very important tool to learn. And the main reason why I actually wrote the book is because I actually I studied law, obviously, and I went to a lot of law firms for vacation work. And when I went to all of these law firms, you know, I noticed there was a difference. There was a gap in the market in the sense that there was those kids who went to how do I say this? Your very established schools, like your Rodin's, your Crawford's, you know, your St. John's. And then you get the students who didn't go to those schools. And some of them actually were practically more intelligent, more talented, just to be honest. But they just didn't have the skills to be able to network well, you know, to be able to build good relationships, to be able to be promoted quicker because they have those skills. So I think that's also something that needed to be rectified. So I just thought, let me release this book. Let everyone get the opportunity to then be on an equal setting.
Nice.
And then move forward from there.
And one of the cool things about Zarif and the book, I've read the book, beautiful book, and it really speaks about what he just told you right now. But one of the cool things that he's not only written about this, but he actually lives this. You know, when we attend events, he's always say, Dali, meet this person, meet Dali, and he's always putting people on, and he really lives the saying that says that the network that increases your net worth, like the Sunday Circle slogan, you know what I mean? So you have to be surrounded by people and network with people that will increase your net worth. And your net worth, we don't only mean monetary, but we also mean an abundance of mindset. Thinking, your mindset.
Yeah.
You have to think better.
And but the most important thing, Dali, I think, is that we need to start celebrating each other more.
Yeah,
I said
it
at Sunday Circle previously, but I think we're just in this whole tip of everyone worrying about themselves, making sure they have the most followers, they get the best endorsements. We need to pick each other up. I think that's the most important thing, you know,
collaboration.
And not just among people who are maybe, you know, having 20,000-30,000 followers, even your everyday person, like every single person who's at school right now, if you have a friend, pick him up, find a way of actually developing him as a person as well, you know. Because I would hate to have friends 10 years down the line that I look at them and the only thing we have is friendship.
Yeah.
There was no sense of development from them. They didn't really care about looking at, maybe if I felt like I wasn't happy with my body, they could actually motivate me to go to the gym and come with me and support me with that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need people like that in your life.
The truth is we need each other. You know what I mean? You're a barber. I need you.
Yeah.
You need me. I need my haircut.
Yeah.
You need the money.
Yeah.
You need the service. You need the business and I need the service type of thing. So the minute that we start realizing that our lives are not only about ourselves, but like we are there for, and we're meant to be there for each other. Because I always bring this, and I always say that, you know, God has given us all these talents, abilities, and gifts. Mm-hmm. And these gifts are not only for ourselves. My gift and my talent might be important for you, and your gift and talent might be important for me. So we have to understand that I can't keep this thing to myself. I have to let it go out there and help other people in order to be helped myself.
A candle loses no light by lighting other candles.
Yeah, that's
the one. There it goes.
Nice.
In the house. Okay, so let's have a little bit of fun. Let's get to know you guys a little bit more. Just some of these fun questions that we've had put together. Just short, sweet, straight to the point. Zarif, the most used app that you use?
WhatsApp. Has to be WhatsApp. Yeah.
Dali?
Instagram. Yeah.
Okay. Zarif, tell us something about yourself that not many people may know.
I think people assume that I'm a good dancer. I don't know why. Like, my Instagram looks like I'm a very fun, you know, exciting person who dances everywhere he goes. And just, I can't dance, guys. Like, I really am bad at dancing. Like, Candace Mutisela, she's on YoTV. She's my co-host on the show. She was trying to teach me how to dance, but guys, I don't know. I have two left feet, eh? I need to actually work on that.
Charlie, what you got?
I think that one thing for me is singing. You know, a lot of people.
Yeah, I thought you could sing.
No, you do have a voice. You have quite a voice.
So that's the one thing for me.
Okay. If you were in a race, I like explaining this one. If you were in a race, I think it's two different mindsets. Would you rather be in first place from the start to the finish, i.e. being chased? Or do you think you would have a better chance of winning by having someone in front of you and chasing them?
Sure, I like this one.
What are you better at? Do you know what I mean? Are you better at holding first place, or are you better at going, okay, that guy's running away from me, I am going to catch him?
I like chasing. Yeah. The chase with Dali. Come on, team. Come on.
This was the question for you.
So I like chasing them because I believe the person in front of me motivates me to surpass them, but not only to surpass them, but like they just give me a drive to go faster, to go bigger, to be just more hungry. Yeah.
I like the underdog factor. I really do like it. I think it makes you work a lot harder, and you also become a much better holistic person when you have something that is there and it's structured and you know what you need to be better than, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
Well played. Right. Next one. What is one thing that your parents said to you that you will always remember?
I believe in you. I think that was the most exceptional thing my parents could ever tell me. I mean, I was 16 years old. I came from a small town. I'm a little Indian boy, you know, just wanting to do crazy stuff. And I wanted to start up my first clothing company. And my mom was just like, I believe in you. Do whatever you want.
Beautiful.
You know? That was the most important moment for me. Yeah.
I think the answer to that question would be, you know, like I said earlier on, I was an outcast. So my mom was like, they don't have to understand you. You've got a supreme calling upon your life, and just, you know, keep chasing that purpose and keep chasing that dream. And at a later stage, you'll understand, and you know, it will resonate with them what you're called.
I love that.
I like that a lot. Okay, so another one. Tell us about a missed opportunity.
You go first.
Yeah. I've got to take it down to the darker side of things. Not everything is unicorns and rainbows and just works out accordingly. And you follow someone on Instagram, you look at their profile, like, oh my gosh, you live the world's best life either.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to take photographs of myself sitting there ripping my own hair out because some news has just come in. So what is a missed opportunity to you, Zarif?
The biggest missed opportunity in my entire life was a huge deal, like a huge business deal. It was a mining deal, and I worked hard on it for 3 months. It came to due day, you know, the big day, everyone meeting up together. The guy genuinely just didn't pitch. My business partner didn't pitch.
Sure.
He did not pitch on the day. His phone went off. It was the most insane moment of my life. I don't think I expected that to ever happen, but I learned so much from it. I learned so many more business lessons from it that I'll never make the same mistake again.
Sure, it's crazy.
As long as you learn from it, I suppose.
Yeah, mine's a bit interesting. Cool, so I used to do ballroom dancing, Dean. I was level 3, no, level 4, no, yeah, level 3, I remember, Latin dance.
I was meant to
fly up to Cape Town for the championships.
Okay.
And I was practicing so hard for this thing. I was really good at samba, cha-cha and jive. Yeah, I used to kill it, Dean, I promise you. So now what happens is a day before I was meant to fly out, my dad, first I got sick. I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go anyway. And then my dad comes through and is like, yo, dude, I don't have money for you to actually go to Cape Town. And I was like, what do they predicted to be the champ for that year? I couldn't go, and it didn't happen, and I was so bummed. And I could be sitting here with the title, championships in Latin dancing in Cape Town in years back. So really sucked.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit painful. I must be honest. Really, that's not ideal. Okay, I'm having fun with this. Let's carry on just a few more. Okay, so we finish this interview right now. You step outside, we obviously take the photograph, and you find a unclaimed lotto ticket with a 10 million rand prize in it. What are we doing with the money?
10 million. Think 10 about million. Think about it. Yeah. 10 million. Yeah. 10 million, chief.
I think, honestly speaking, I was thinking about this literally this morning. I was like, if I make 10 million rand next year, I would do the following. So I guess it just answers my question.
All right.
I would literally go and purchase 5 properties worth 2 million rand each, and make sure that all that money then goes towards my family, and just, you know, obviously building up and growing that as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. 10 million rand for
me.
Where
are you at, Dolly?
Same property. No, this property thing is serious. Our mentors tell us all.
Yeah.
This,
we need to really build property before 35. We need to.
So property, as well as creating my own, what do they call it? Not a TV channel, but like a production company.
I'm
very passionate about that. I think I'd spend on property and a production company, all of it.
Yeah.
Maybe split 5-5.
Yeah.
I've actually just sold my property, so I'm hearing both of you and I'm kind of cringing a little bit. But I haven't. I'm looking at it differently. I haven't sold my property. I have changed investment portfolios. Yeah. And one was property and now it is my business entirely. So that's all I've done. I haven't sold my property. Anyway, okay. So moving on. Two more little ones. Zarif, the best lesson you've learned this year?
It has to be consistency. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing I struggled with. And I've always told Nick, so Nick's from Leadership 2020, is the CEO of Leadership 2020. And I've always told him, Nick, the one thing I struggle with is consistency. I think if I was more consistent, I would just be, I think the level of where I would like to be would be a lot easier to look at that level if I was more consistent. I think that's the thing I worked on a lot last year. And this year, I think, you know, it's starting to happen as well. So yeah, man, hopefully 2018 would be the year of complete consistency.
I know Nick, obviously, Leadership 2020, the big guy. The guy with the voice. If you haven't heard of Nick Regisford, you should go and check him out. He does amazing
stuff.
He's
literally the best father figure out there.
He's the best. What was his advice, if I may just take notes on the side?
So Nick's very honest and he's very direct about things, right?
All is straight.
And he told me, like, I agree with you. I think you really are very inconsistent. Go and work on it and fix it. And he gave me a few tips on how to actually do that. And I appreciate that. I love it when someone tells you, listen, hey, you messing up, do better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want people to tell me, oh no, you're good, man.
No,
you're
don't sugarcoat like it.
Get straight to
the point. Cut the BS, as they say.
Cool.
Dali, yours?
So quickly, I'm just gonna speak about what Nick has taught me and of course what I've learned this year. Uh-huh. Nick has just told me to calm down. Like, he just tells me, calm down, Dali. You get too excited, you wanna do this, you wanna do that. Just calm down, take it all in and focus. Okay, cool. Moving on to obviously what I've learned this year. I've learned that you know, it's very important who you hang around with. Number two, grow thick skin, especially if you want to be in this industry. And number three, people's negativity has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So if I tell you something negative about yourself, it has nothing to do with you. It has more to do with me. So I've realized that I should stop taking in what people's opinions and negativity are and create a camp within me that, oh, cool, Boosie said I'm this or I'm not good enough. It has nothing to do with me. I just have to focus on what I do best and kill it.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Zarif, teach me something that I don't know. Tell me something that I don't know or we don't know. Teach me something that maybe, I don't know, anything you've got. What can you teach me in the next 2 minutes that I don't know?
I can give you an important sense of information about something.
Please.
Tourism is actually going to become one of our biggest forms of income in South Africa in the next 20 years. I think we can learn from Dubai.
Yeah.
I think Dubai literally, you know, it was all about oil and everything and then obviously dried up.
Yeah.
And then now they needed to find an alternative, which is obviously tourism. And I feel like in South Africa, because of how, you know, water shortages are happening,
yeah,
a lot of our resources are getting, you know, completed in that sense. Tourism is going to become a very important thing. So if you are a young person and you want to start up a tourism company or a tourism agency,
do it now.
There's an opportunity there for you, you know.
Yeah, like
in
that.
The market. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep it real with you, Dean.
What
I'm
you
not,
got?
I'm not gonna be.
What you got?
I'm not gonna sound like this
what
guy.
You got?
So Dean, you don't know Khosa, right? Yeah. So I'm doing Khosa. Someone's like, "Funs is Khosa." So obviously, I'm gonna teach you how to greet and obviously how to respond to certain things. So was like, "Hi, Kamalam, good Dean, Bertha."
There we go. I like it a lot.
Let's do it.
You can try it out.
Yeah, try it out. Come on, just ask me to teach you. Hi, Kamalam with Din Buerta.
Hi, Kamalam, Din Buerta.
Unjani namhlanje.
Unjani namhlanje.
Unjani namhlanje.
It's like the white man's tongue just doesn't go there, does it?
Let's do it one more time.
Slowly. Slow down. Calm down, darling. Calm down.
Okay, cool. So
listen to Nick, bro.
Hi, Igamalam Ngudin Buerta.
Hi, Igamalam Ndin Buerta.
Unjani namhlanje.
Unjani namhlanje.
Ndiphilile nam.
No. Now you're just going to the next one. No. We'll do this all fair. Let's focus on you two.
Yeah.
Okay, so just ending off on that, I'd like to know, and I'm sure everyone else out there, Zarif, what is your definition of success?
I
part one.
Yeah.
Part two, can it ever be achieved?
success can definitely be achieved. It's subjective to every single person. So whatever your goals are, when you reach your goals, when you reach happiness. So there's two different things. There's goals and then there's happiness.
Yeah.
You can be the wealthiest person or the most successful person and you can still be unhappy and then you're not successful. So you need to make sure that you go after every single one of your goals and you also build a level of happiness that you can actually love your life with. That's success.
Yeah.
I like it.
Simple for me. Making it to the end of God's purpose in this world.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Short, sweet, straight to the point. Yeah. That's fantastic. Very, very, very cool. Okay, guys. So it's been one hell of an installment of Inspired.
Are we going home already? Me, I want to stick around for another hour.
Let's do another hour.
Come on, Din.
This is what happens
when
you interview radio hosts. Just carry on talking. Zarif, everyone out there, where can we find you? Where are you going to be next? Where are you over the Christmas holidays? What, where, when?
Perfect. So you can find me on Instagram at I am Zarif Minty, on Twitter at Zarif SMB. And you can also get me on my website at www.zarifminty.com. Unfortunately, I'm not going to have much of a holiday. I'm writing my board exams for my to get my law degree so I can, not my law degree, but to be admitted as an attorney.
My man.
In
Break
February.
Your leg with that.
So I'm writing all four of my boards. So I need to actually study, you know. Thank you so much. But I'm going to be studying in December, Jan, and most of Feb. So yeah, I'm going to be at home for a while. But
the guy said he doesn't sleep and now you know why. Dali, where do we find you, mate?
So it's simple. Across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Daluxolo Jalmeni. D-A-L-X-U-L-O-G
How do I spell my own name? Oh yes, right.
Wow. Daluxolo Jalmeni across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The Chase with Dali on YouTube. And yeah, man, email
and one
me.
More thing. You're going to find both of us doing a school tour next year. So we're going to actually be going to a lot of schools.
It's
going to
be so dope. We're so excited.
So yeah, we're really excited for it. July until October next year. So yeah,
lovely stuff. Well, on that note, I think we'll take this off air, but we've got a 2 month tour during March and April. So we might just be a teaming up there anyway, whether you like it or not, you're going to find these guys in your schools. So guys, you will be able to find all of their information on cliffcentral.com under Inspired Youth, as well as we'll be sharing it across our platforms on Inspired Youth, Pride Factor, etc., etc. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of them, you know how it is. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you, Dean. We appreciate you so much. It was so much fun, Dean.
We appreciate you.
Calm down, Johnny. Calm down. This has been another installment of Inspired Youth on Cliff Central. Listen up, listen in, and we'll see you next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.